Bibles, go with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms 111 in your Bible. Psalms 111, I've made mention before, they're not called chapters in your Bible, they're called Psalms. And I usually try to refrain from saying chapter number, but rather Psalm. And that's just one of those little quirks with me. I was taught that several years ago by my pastor, and I like that. But you'll notice in your Bible, they're not called chapter 1 or chapter 2, it's always Psalm 1, Psalm 2. Let's go to Psalm 111. And I'm going to read the very last verse of Psalm 111. Follow along if you would. The Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and good understanding have all they that do His commandments." The last few words say, "His praise endureth forever." Go to verse number 1 of chapter 1, or of Psalm 111. Corrected myself there. Psalm 111, look at verse number 1. "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." And those last few words of verse number 10, "His praise endureth forever." This morning I want to bring a message entitled, "The Wonder of Praise." The wonder of praise. Now, we're independent fundamental Baptists. I fear that sometimes we're a little leery of praise. I will say it's unfortunate that the charismatic churches have taken over what we would consider praise. Now, I want to speak a little bit about it. I'm not here to tear apart anything, but I'm here to build up what God expects of us concerning praise and praising His name. And it's a wonderful thing, the praise of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to praise His name. It's a great thing to have a mindset and a life that will praise God in our lives. And I don't want us to be afraid of it. Now, we're not going to sway back and forth, all right? We're not going to have praise and worship band up here. Don't worry about that. But I do believe that we should praise God for what He has done for us. I want us to see that this morning. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll ask you to be seated after that. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray You would be with us this morning as we look at Your Word, Lord, as we consider praise. God, I pray that we would praise You more. Lord, I pray that I would to God that the praise of Your name would be on our lips, Lord, more and more. That we would stop and we would consider what the Bible teaches us concerning praise. There is no God other than You. There is no likeness in Your name. Lord, we have You as our Savior. We have You as the life giver. Lord, we have You as the strength for our weary bones and our soul. Lord, we have You to look for endurance. We have You to look for deliverance, dear God. And I pray that in all of these things, we would praise Your name because of it. Lord, thank You for what You've done. You're wonderful to us. Lord, You're far beyond what we deserve. Every last one of us here, Lord, we are undeserving of what You give to us, but we thank You for what You do. Lord, we thank You for Your graciousness. I pray You would help us to praise You more and more, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll have you be seated this morning. Are you grateful for salvation this morning? I pray you are. Well, I hope that you're excited about that. Listen, we're talking about praise here. If you can't praise the Lord for salvation, then I'm not sure what you're going to praise God for. You might praise the Lord for provision, but it doesn't matter if you don't have salvation. Amen? You may praise the Lord for a good marriage or good children, a good husband or a good wife, but if you don't have salvation, it doesn't matter. None of those things are worth praising if we don't know Christ as our Savior. Boy, it's amazing that He would save an old sinner like me. Brother Roy, praise the Lord. Thank you for that. The wonder of praise. I want us to really consider this matter of praise this morning. Again, as I say, an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church. Sometimes we're worried. I read a joke many years ago. How many independent Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? The answer is one, because any more than one with their hand in the air, and you've got a praise and worship service going on. So, but listen, we shouldn't be worried about that. But we shouldn't be worried about following God's instruction for praising His name. Now, I believe that there is a right way to praise the Lord, and I believe that there is a wrong way to show, if you will, praise for God. I said before, we'll never have a praise and worship band up here and people swaying back and forth. I've spoken to all of our special music, I almost call them the professionals. I don't pay them. They don't get paid, but they sing professionally. But I don't want someone coming up here holding that microphone and closing their eyes and swaying back and forth. And I want the praise to be from our lips. And we're going to see that in a moment. All right? I want us to think, though, about the wonder of praise here. If you look again at verse number 10 there in Psalm 111, notice the very last few words, His praise endureth forever. But before we can get to the last few words, we've got to go through the first few words of verse number 10. Watch the first few words where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." We can't get to praising God without first going through wisdom. And that wisdom comes through a healthy fear of God. I'm going to praise the Lord when I really fear God. When I understand my place before God. When I understand my position before God. When I understand my powerlessness before God. Then I can understand the fear that I should have before Him. I should tremble before Him with a holy, reverential, terrible trembling. I should realize that without Christ, I am undone and I am on my way to hell. But with Jesus Christ, by praise God, I can be delivered from the very power of sin as we looked at in Sunday school. You could go back over to 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10 and realize that. You can go back to Titus chapter number 2 and realize that. I can be delivered from the very power of sin. The penalty of sin was taken care of when I got saved. But the power of sin, I don't have to live under the power of sin. God gives me that the power to live beyond that. And so I can praise His name for it because I understand wisdom. And wisdom comes through fear. We look at the second portion of verse number 10. It says, "A good understanding have all they that do His commandments." Oh, that we would realize that before we can really praise God, I'd better be an obedient son. I'd better be an obedient child. If I want to praise God correctly, I need to have obedience taken care of. I need to realize what obedience means to God. I need to understand what chastisement means from God and the reason for it. I never chastised my children because I wanted to make them angry. I never chastised my children. I never spanked my children because I wanted to show them that I was tougher than them. I never spanked my children because I wanted to show them that I was a big bully and I was the one in the house and it's my way or the highway. Oh, they understood that. But I wanted them to understand that there's a consequence for our actions. And obedience is a scriptural truth that is spoken to us in God's Word. Amen. I think you're sleeping again on me. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go to sleep on me now. Amen. Oh, we need to understand that we obey His commandments. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let's have a healthy fear of God. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. Let's be willing to obey God. And then we get to the portion where it says, His praise endureth forever. Oh, His praise endureth forever. Let me read to you Hebrews 13 and verse number 15. It says, "Let us offer the sacrifice of praise." Interesting how God terms that. The sacrifice of praise. You see, God's Word teaches us that we should praise Him, but it's not something that comes naturally to us. Oh, we might be glad for our salvation. I might be happy that I'm not going to hell. I might be thrilled that I'm going to go to heaven. But my praise is something that's purposeful. My praise is a determination that I am going to give God the glory. And I'm going to give God the honor. And it's going to be a sacrifice to my life. Why? Because it's not something that I'm normally going to do. My fleshly nature, my old sin nature, doesn't want to praise God. Oh, my spirit wants to. Absolutely. But sometimes I don't praise the Lord when I should, knowing that I should. And God says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Listen to the rest of it. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name.
Oh, we should be willing to speak from our own lips the praise of God and what He's done for us. What He is, how He has saved us. How He strengthens us. How He carries us. Oh, people should understand that we serve a holy God and a loving God and a just God. And we're thankful. Listen, I am thankful for it. I am thankful that God says, here's the mark. Hit it. I praise God for that. I'm glad that I don't have a God that says, do what you want, doesn't matter to me. Who? What kind of a God is that that has no expectations of His children? You watch the people in the store that have no expectation of their children, and you don't think they're a good parent. You don't say, man, I hope I can be that kind of a parent one day. Let my children run wild, scream and holler, pull things off of the shelves, throw them down the aisle. Man, I hope I can be that kind of a parent. No way. You look at them and you say, man, don't those parents have any understanding? Don't they know how to teach their children? How to rear their children? Then why would we look at God any differently saying, let me do what I want and I'll call you a good God? No, God has expectations. I praise the Lord for that. I'm grateful for that. That I have a God that has expectations of me. We study the Bible. We come to the understanding that we are to praise the Lord our God. We're to praise God. Go over to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Now obviously the Psalms speak a lot about the praise that we should have for God. But when we go to Psalm 96, look at verse number 4 here. In verse 4 it says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. You notice again the coupling of praise and fear. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Oh, we read these things. We read about the praise that He deserves, about the honor and the majesty, His strength and His beauty. God calls upon His children to praise Him. Why? Because He's our Heavenly Father. He's my Heavenly Father. He is my Abba, as it's told to us in the New Testament. He is that loving, caring, tender, compassionate, but yet at the same time, toe the line, hit the mark type of a Father to me. I want to be that kind of a father for my children. I want to have that kind of a father for my Heavenly Father. Oh, we read those. Go over, if you would. Go to the last Psalm. Psalms 1. Oh, let's go to Psalm 146, if you would. In Psalm 146, there are 150 Psalms altogether in the book of Psalms. Psalm 46, look at the first word, or the first verse. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. It goes on, look at the very last verse of Psalm 146. The Lord God shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Look at Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. Look at the very last verse of Psalm 147. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from heavens. Praise Him from the heights. Praise ye Him, all the angels. Praise ye Him, all the hosts. Over and over and over, the very last verse of Psalm 148. Verse number 14, He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord, Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of the saints. Go to the last verse of Psalm 149, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all His saints. Praise ye the Lord, Psalm 149. Already. Praise ye the Lord. Praise His God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Again in verse 3. Again in verse 4. Again in verse 5. And verse 6 ends. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I believe we're supposed to praise God. I believe we're supposed to praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to praise the Lord. Oh, these hallelujah psalms, as Psalm 146, 7, 8, 9, and 150 are called. The hallelujah psalms. They sing the praises of God over and over and over. Oh, let's not be run off into a corner by the charismatic crowd that they call their singing and their swaying and their dancing and their all the hoop-de-hoop that they do that they call praise. Let's not be run off into a corner. We should really understand what praising God is all about. For all that He has done, for all that He has given, for all that He is, even if He never gives me another single thing, I should praise Him for who He is. He is God. He is Jehovah. He is Elohim. I should praise Him. Oh, that we would understand that. Go back again. Go to Psalm 71. Psalm 71, as David, of course, David being the pen author of so many of these psalms that we read, not all of them, but the majority of them. And we see the last, the hallelujah praises, the hallelujah psalms that we saw over in the very last five psalms here in the book of Psalms. If you go to Psalm 71, I guess go to verse number 1. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline Thine ear unto me and save me. Now we're going to jump down. Go to verse number 8. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. Go, if you would, to verse number 14. But I will hope continually. Watch what David says here. And will yet praise Thee more and more. Verse 22, I also praise Thee with the psaltery, even Thy truth. You know, we praise God when we're honest. It shows our praise to God when we're truthful. Amen?
Amen.
I know the Bible says over in the book of Romans, let God be true and every man a liar. I understand the best that we are sinners at best. Oh, but the Bible tells us that we should praise God through truth. Verse number 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto Thee, and my soul which Thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of Thy righteousness all the day long. I wonder how many of us do that. I wonder how many of us are willing to say, I'm going to speak of the righteousness of God at every opportunity, every time that I can, that I possibly can, I'm going to speak about the praises of God. You see, I want us to see here this morning that we have a wonderful God, and praising His name, it's a wonderful thing. The wonder, the astonishment, the awestruckness of praising God. I want you to go probably one of the most familiar psalms, Psalm 100. I would say probably the 23rd psalm is the most familiar. But I would say that Psalm 100 is probably one of the second or maybe third most familiar to us. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that He is that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. If you're prone to taking notes, I would love for you to write down number 1, how are we to praise the Lord? I want to look at some ways just real quickly how we are to praise the Lord. Now what you will not find is you're not going to find me talking about we're going to put together a praise and worship team. Amen? I know Brother Dave, he always likes to tease with us, we're going to have interpretive dance today. We're not having any interpretive dance, all right? We're not having anyone up. Now, I want singing that truly praises and honors God. I want Christ-honoring music in our church. Because music is far more powerful than most people believe and than most people understand. And oftentimes, music is wrapped up in the praise. But there's far more than just music that we can praise God with. How are we to praise the Lord? Well, as it says there in verse number 1 of Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. We should praise the Lord with a joyful noise. That's not just singing. There's a song that says, it talks about the singing, shouting, preaching and praying. You see, those are ways that we can praise God. Oh, sure, we lift our voices in song. I hope that you turn in your songbook when Brother Johnson says, let's go to page such and such, and let's sing such and such song. Praise Him! Praise Him! Let's sing this song. Lift your voices on that first. Well, I hope that you sing out. You say, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Make a joyful what? Yeah, you know the word. We all know it. Some of you is like, praise the Lord for His noise or her noise. Maybe you don't have the most eloquent, beautiful voice. Maybe you say, oh, I can't read music. Neither can I. That's all right. We'll get by. Amen. Well, we should be praising in song. Boy, there's nothing more powerful than when someone walks in the door, maybe the first time, second time, and they listen to a church congregation that sings the praises of God from their heart and truly are lifting their voices to a heavenly Father. That's a wonderful thing to hear. The song service. Oh, it's a great thing to begin a service with. Singing from our heart. Oh, let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let's shout hallelujah. Let's shout praise the Lord. Let's shout amen. Oh, we've got preaching to those forth from the very Word of God. When you're in agreement with it, don't stay quiet. Say amen, preacher.
Amen.
I don't care if it's a man or a woman. I know a lot of preachers, they're worried about a woman saying amen. It doesn't bother me. Several years ago, we had a lady that was visiting with us. She visited about two or three services. She sat over here one time. She sat over here one time. And man, she about had a conniption. Boy, she was, hey man, hey man. She was waving that hanky. She was shouting. She was praising. That night, I came back after the first night. I said, how many of you guys were kind of worried about that? And a couple of you raised your hand. No one else was honest enough. I said, yeah, I was worried. I was worried no one else was going to join her. I was worried no men were going to get involved and say, amen! Well, we should be shouting hallelujah to God. When the preaching of the Word of God goes on, we should have anyone that comes and visits our church, they should realize, man, this is a church that believes that Bible, believes that Word. They're not going to stay silent about it. They're going to praise Him with their shouting. Oh, the preaching should bring praise and honor to God. One of my most fervent prayers, Lord, please, would You be honored through the preaching of Your Word. Praying that we have. Oh, yesterday we had such a wonderful time. We had such a wonderful time. I know sometimes, your prayer life is probably no different than mine. Sometimes it feels like, okay, didn't get anywhere. I don't know that I had any results or could ever see any results from that. But other times it seems like, well, I was at the very throne of God. Oh, that's what we need to get to. Oh, that we would realize the fervency of prayer, the reality of prayer and what it does for our lives. And as Brother Roy pointed out yesterday, what it does to God when we come to Him in prayer. Oh, that we would praise our God with a joyful noise. Well, I don't believe there's probably anything more joyful of a noise to God than when His children come and sit down and talk with Him. Those of you that maybe your children have moved out of the house, that time that you get to sit down and talk. Maybe it's on a phone. Maybe they come and visit. You get to sit down with them. And you just get to sit and talk with them. And they're not there saying, man, you know, Dad, I really am late on my bills. You think you could maybe help me out, Dad, with some money? Oh, you know, Dad, I was really hoping that you'd help me out with the car payment. And it's good when they come, they just say, Dad, I just wanted to, you know what? I look at a lot of dads out there, and I think to myself, how could they possibly? These kids, you're the greatest dad I've ever had. Good, I'm the only one. A little bit more than that, hey, maybe. Well, when your son or your daughter comes to you, when your son or daughter comes to you and says, Daddy, would you fix this? Because you can fix anything. Yeah, duct tape. Amen. I can fix it, sweetheart. Yes. Well, we come to God and we just sit down with Him and we say, Lord, You're the best God. Oh, You do so much for me. Oh, Lord, You do so much for me. Yeah, I've got some. This is broken. But Lord, I just want to thank You. Oh, what it does to the heart of God. How are we to praise the Lord with a joyful noise? Also in verse number 2 there is Psalm 100. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. We should praise the Lord with a glad heart. Not only with a joyful noise, but with a glad heart. In fact, if you go over to Psalm 95. Look at Psalm 95. It says, "Oh come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." Listen, let me stop right there. This morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you say, "I have no idea where I would go if I die right now," can I tell you, you're missing the entire purpose of the Word of God. The entire purpose of the Bible is not to teach you how to be a good husband. The entire purpose of the Bible is not to teach you how to be a good employee. The entire purpose of the Word of God is to tell you how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior, to have your eternity sealed forever. Oh, would you no longer live with the thought that, well, I've tried my best, I'm trying my hardest still, and surely God's going to let me in. Oh, please, would you understand the salvation, the rock of our salvation. It's called a rock because it will not move. It's called a rock because it will not break. Oh, the bounds of sin hold us strong, but the bound of salvation holds us stronger than anything. Oh, would we realize the rock of our salvation. It goes on, verse number 3, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." We should praise Him for salvation. We should praise Him with thanksgiving. In verse number 2, we read verse 3. Jump down to verse number 8 for sake of time. Look at verse number 8. "Harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and provoked me and saw my good work. For 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, is it a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." Now, we understand the reality, the historical fact of what the children of Israel did and the fact that they were not allowed to go into the promised land. But when we see in verse number 8, we're talking about the praising of God. We should praise Him with a softened heart. You're not going to praise God with a hardened heart. You're not going to praise God when you're angry at Him because what He allowed to have happen in your life. You think Job was excited about everything that happened in his life? Do you think that Paul was excited about everything that happened to him after he trusted Christ as his Savior? Absolutely not. You think Joseph was excited about the fact that he was sold into slavery, but yet God used it? But during all that difficult time, do you think that he ever thought to himself, why don't I just quit? Why don't I just give it up? This is far too difficult to try to maintain a good testimony for my God amongst a bunch of heathens, and I have no one around me that has any idea who I am or any idea of the God that I serve. Why don't I just go ahead, cave, and act like them? Oh, absolutely not. You may be the only one in your work environment. You may be the only one in your job. You may be the only one in your family. Don't give it up. Don't quit. You serve a holy God. You don't serve your boss. You don't serve your family. You don't serve me. You serve God. We praise God because He's God. But let's serve Him with a softened heart. Let's serve Him with the reality of what He's done for us, what He's doing for us, and what He's going to do for us still. Let's serve God with a softened heart because it says, "Harden not your heart." Oh, that we would praise Him with a glad heart, with a soft heart. Our praise, it should be an integral part of our life. When we have a glad heart, when we have a soft heart, it is easy to praise God. You say, "I don't praise God enough." Check your heart. I don't praise Him like I should. Check your heart. His praise is not on my lips as it should. Check your heart. You know, it's a good thing when at work something happens and you slip up and your speech gives you way and you say, "Man, praise the Lord."
Amen.
All of a sudden you're like, "Uh-oh, did anyone hear that?" Someone looked at you and said, "Oh, really? Praise the Lord, huh?
Amen.
Now what are you going to do?"
Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Yes, praise God. Why is God? Why are you going to? Because God is merciful. Oh, God is good to us. Oh, that we would see this on our lips. So, the first thing, how are we? The second thing I want you to write down, why are we to praise the Lord? Go back over to Psalm 100 again. Look at verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Why should I praise the Lord? Because of who He is. He is the Lord. He is God. He is Elohim. He is the strong one. That word Elohim that we meet over in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. That Hebrew word Elohim that is translated for us in English as simply God. Oh, Elohim has a far greater understanding than our word God. You see, I'm not a scholar in Hebrew, but I know enough to do a little bit of study to find out what is God really meaning behind some of these words. And Elohim, it gives us the understanding of a single entity, God, that is manifested in multiple ways. We serve a triune God. We serve God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We should praise Him because of who He is. He is our Lord. He is our God. He is our Creator. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Oh boy, does that fly in the face of evolutionists? Oh, we've made ourselves. We are who we are. I've spoken to individuals before that get offended at different things. And they say to me, I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. Nobody has helped me in my life. Everybody has pushed me down. Everybody has harmed me. I am what I am because of me and no one else. Now you are who you are because of God. Oh, I'm not taking away what you've done, the work. I'm not saying that you haven't worked hard. No. I'm not saying that you don't deserve a little bit of what you've got, but please understand, everything that you have, regardless of how much work or effort you or I put into it, everything that we have is because of God and what He has given to us, what He has given for us. Oh, that we could see that I should praise Him because of who He is our God, He is our Creator, He is our Shepherd. In the last part of verse number 3, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He is my Shepherd. I should praise Him because of who He is. I should praise Him because of what He is. Go down to verse number 5. In Psalm 100, verse number 5, for the Lord is good. I should praise Him because He is good. Oh, but you see, he's different. He's different than when, you know, the pastor's pals, these cards, I just picked up someone, I won't tell you who it is. Maybe I should pick up a different one. Did you memorize the Bible verse? Maybe yes is circled. Have you done your chores? Yes. Have you been honest this week? Yes. Have you been obedient this week? Yes. Did you attend church this week? Yes. Did you read your Bible this week? Yes. Oh, you're good. God's different. God's good is far greater than any good that you or I or any child could do. Oh, the goodness of God. Oh, as we read there in verse number 5, for He is good. I understand the word that we have, but it's a far cry from what you and I consider and think good is. He is good. He is good to us. He is good for us. He is good with us. Oh, everything that we have, it is good. He is merciful also. His mercy endureth forever. I have to praise the Lord. The reason? Because of what He is. He is good. He is merciful. He is truthful. In verse number 5 again, His truth endureth to all generations. I should praise Him for what He is. Let me read to you out of Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1, it says, blessed, in verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in all heavenly places in Christ. I'm going to jump down to verse number 6. It says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Not deserving, but accepted. I'm accepted in the Beloved because of the grace of God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of who God is. I'm accepted in the Beloved. Oh, I should praise Him for that. It goes on in verse number 7 in Ephesians 1. It says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." If for no other reason we should praise Him, because we are saved. Why should I praise God? Because you're not going to hell. I should praise God because I have a home reserved for me in heaven. A mansion, as God has told me. What it's going to look like, I don't know. Oh, I pray that I'm going to be sending on the right type of building materials for God to build my mansion. But I understand that I will have one. I thank God I'll not have to spend a moment in the flames of hell. I'll get to spend eternity with the God that loved me enough to die for my sin. Oh, why should I? Because I'm saved. The third thing, if you write this down, where are we to praise the Lord? There again, in Psalm 100, look at verse number 4. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. It goes on, but let me stop right there. We should enter into His courts with praise. We should enter His thanksgiving, or His gates with thanksgiving. Listen, I'll write down, I should praise Him in church. I should praise Him when I come to the house of God. I should praise Him because of what He's done. I should praise Him because of the message that we get to listen to. I should praise Him because of a Bible that He's given to me. I should praise Him because of the church family that I get to say hallelujah with. I should praise Him in the house of God. Go over to Psalm 135. Psalm 135. Look at the first three verses here. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye His name. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. Now we already understand that we're supposed to praise the Lord in our workplace. We're supposed to praise the Lord in our families. We're supposed to praise the Lord on our block. We're supposed to praise the Lord in our family reunion. We're supposed to praise the Lord around the supper table. But we're also supposed to praise the Lord in the church house. Amen. We're supposed to praise God in the church house. Over in the book of Ephesians where it says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Oh, for I've said for years I struggled with, is that really truly talking about the fact that I should go to church? Now, it wasn't that I didn't want to. But I struggled with, can I really preach that's talking about going to church? Till I began to realize what Hebrews is all about. And I began to study Hebrews and why it was written, to whom it was written, and the purpose of the writing. And the fact that they were running back to the sacrifices that they were used to giving in the Old Testament. I'm not going to go over it again. Many of you understand what I'm talking about. And as the writer of Hebrews was trying to get their attention, that listen, we need to forget. For if you sin willfully, verse number 26 of Hebrews chapter 10, for if you sin willfully, after that you have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. A lot of people say, oh, see, if I get saved and I sin on purpose, I lost my salvation. No. Hebrews isn't written to that. Hebrews is written to the end that if you have been saved, there's no reason to run back to the sacrifices. They will do you no good. You're saved. You're born again. Amen. So, go to church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You don't need to go to the temple. You don't need to go to the sacrifices. You need to go to the house of God. Oh, that we would realize that we are to praise the Lord in the house of God. In Psalm 34 and verse number 1 it says, I bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I should praise the Lord everywhere. Go back to Psalm 100 again if you've lost your place there. Psalm 100, the very last thing I'm going to ask you is, who is to praise the Lord? Who? We've already looked at how. We've already looked at why. We just saw where. But who is to praise the Lord? Verse number 5 says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. Who is to praise the Lord? Well, it didn't stop in the book of Psalms. It didn't stop in the book of Proverbs. It didn't stop in all the minor prophets. It didn't stop at the end of the Gospels. It didn't stop at the end of Acts. He didn't stop at the end of all of the epistles. And at the very closing amen of the book of Revelation, the praise of God did not stop because He has already said that it should endure to all generations. If you're saved, you are called to praise the Lord. You are called to praise God. But are you? Oh, I understand the praise from our lips. But does your life praise God? Does your life show honor and glory and respect and praise to God? Have you ever been in an interview where you're interviewing someone? I've been party to several different types of interviews, you know, not only being interviewed, but interviewing other people. It always amazes me sometimes the casualness of some people. One guy we interviewed didn't wear socks. I'm thinking, okay, well, I guess that's not the telltale of everything. But when we asked him, we said, no, what is it about this job that drew your attention? And he said, oh, well, I don't even really know what the job is. I mean, that week I sent out, let's see, how many resumes I sent out? I sent out like 5 resumes that week. I was like, ooh, really want a job there, don't you, buddy? Needless to say, we didn't hire him, but the casualness. I'm getting somewhere with this. Hey, God, how you doing, man? Good talking with the man upstairs. Yeah, oh boy. And don't you ever, you young people, don't you ever let me hear you calling him the man upstairs. He is God in heaven. He is your heavenly Father. You don't talk to your dad that way. You better not talk to your dad, the old man. And he is not the old man. I don't care how old he is. He's not the old man. He's your dad. He's your father. You respect him. You see, how about our life? Do we show God respect in our life? Do we show God honor with our life? I was asked one time, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, if you were accused and stood before a judge and jury for being a Christian, would the prosecuting attorney have enough evidence to convict you? Would they be able to bring enough people to sit on the witness stand before the judge and jury and give testimony as to why you're a Christian? Why they should convict you of being a Christian? Would they be able to pull your parents in and put them on the witness stand? And would your parents stay with their hand on the Bible, say, yes, and I can give you the testimony as to why he or she is a Christian, born again? Oh, would there be enough evidence in our lives to prove to a world that we truly are a child of God?
Amen.
Saved. Amen. Born again. Blood washed. Amen. A child of God.
Amen.
Is there enough evidence? Do we praise the Lord with our life? See, praising Him with your lips is one thing. But when you praise Him with your heart, and the only way to praise Him with your heart really is to show it outside. Oh, as that which is within a man is going to make its way out. Do we praise God with our life? With our everyday actions? Boy, that gets pretty biting real quick. My mind floods with instances where, boy, that didn't show the praise of God. And that didn't show the praise of God. And by the way, the praise of God is not always before people, but the praise of God should always be before God. You might be alone. Do your actions praise God when you're alone? Oh, that we would praise the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll close. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do ask You that You would help me to have a life that praises You. Lord, I pray that I would have actions that speak Your praise, that speak of Your glory and Your honor and Your majesty. But Lord, I also pray that my mouth would praise Your name. Lord, I did not mention it in the message, but I'll mention it now. I believe that one of the ways that I can praise You with my mouth is to tell someone else how to go to heaven. Amen. Lord, I don't know that there is any greater praise that I can give to someone else than to tell them of the Son of God that died for their sin. I pray that You would help me always to be ready to praise Your name by testimony of salvation. And that, Lord, our church family would be always ready to praise Your name. Not by just their lives, but yes, Lord, that's important. But Lord, by our very spoken word to them about Jesus Christ and what He's done for our souls, and what they can do for the lost. Lord, I pray that we would see that it is truly an honoring thing to be able to give You praise and honor and glory. Lord, I pray that we would be respectful in our lives to You, in our attitude toward You. But dear God, I pray that people around us would see, and Lord, it would make an impact on them. This morning, your heads are bowed. No one is looking around. Let me ask you a simple question about your salvation. Now, I have spoken to many of you, but let me ask you a simple thing. If this were your last day on earth, if you were to die today, how many of you would be able to raise your hand right now and say, I know I'd go to heaven because I remember the day that I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? Could you slip your hand up? Keep it up just real quickly all across the room. All across the room. Boy, I thank the Lord for that. You can put your hands down. Not everyone raised your hand. I don't know the reason. Maybe you didn't listen to the question. Maybe you didn't understand it. But it might be that you say, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. Can I tell you in a loving way, I don't understand why you would not want to be saved. Oh, this morning, you didn't raise your hand. Would you allow someone to take a Bible and show you how you could be saved? Would you allow someone to slip you off over to another room, take a Bible, and show you how you could call upon the name of Jesus Christ to save you? If that's you, no one's looking around. You didn't slip your hand up before, but you would slip your hand up right now and you'd say, Pastor Sears, I would like to be saved. I would like to. Would you slip your hand up even right now? I would like to be saved. Folks, let me ask you this. How many of you would say, I truly want to praise the Lord with my life in the right way? My hand is up. I want to praise the Lord. I would expect that all of your hands would go up. I would say that probably every one of us would say, oh, that I could praise the Lord more. What is it that needs to change then in your life? What is it that the Lord is asking of you? You can put your hands down. What is it that God's asking of you for your life? Not just your lips, but your life to praise Him. What is it that He is asking not just of your life, but of your lips to praise Him? How is God going to deal with your heart this morning? And what decision will you make for Him? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. The piano will begin playing. Oh, would you come this morning? Maybe it's you that the Holy Spirit is trying to target. And He's saying you need to praise God in a fashion with your life, in a fashion with your lips. You need to be honoring to Him. Things happen that are bad, Pastor. We can praise God for everything. We see so many examples in Scripture. Oh, would we be willing to do that? She'll continue to play. Would you come this morning?